and I love the horizons, and I love filling in here. And my day job, if that's what you call it, because it's at night, is I actually do stand-up comedy for a living. And I love, this is one of my favorite parts, is taking the truth and seeing it become reality. And I love this concept of switch. One of the pieces comedically is based on this whole concept of being just a little bit off. And my wife, who is brilliant and beautiful, has this condition we call Heatherisms. She mixes up phrases that are just not quite right, and they're cause for great humor. I couldn't help it. We're at the beach, and she came up with one time. She goes, "Well, beggars can't be losers," and I was like, "Well, obviously they are," and we just missed it. But what I love is that I've gotten people to send these from all over the place. The lady sent one a couple weeks ago. She said, "My son's in the back seat," and she goes, "Mommy," he said, "Mommy, my tummy hurts. I think I need a Rolex," and I was like, I know a lot of people would think that was a good idea. And I was at a corporate event, and we were up late the night before, had an early morning, and the gentleman who was hosting it came in a little blurry-eyed, and I'm like, "How'd you sleep?" He goes, "Dude, when I finally got to bed, I slept like a horse." And I was like, "You slept standing up outside? What does that look like?" Just a little bit off. And then there's those times of life that we realize that life is going to be a little off and we don't have the answer. And if you're married and you're a man, you know at some point this has happened where you're confronted with a situation, a condition, or a question that there is no answer to. And yet we have to give one. Does this make me look fat? There's not an answer to that question. I mean, you can say no, but then it's this and that. And let me just, this is free. This may be worth your entire Sunday, your entire weekend. Right? I have come up with the answer to the unanswerable questions. Men, you can write this down, take it to the bank. Next time you get a question that there is no answer to, here's what you say. And it just came to me. I believe it was God. It was a divine revelation. We're in there getting ready for a night. And Heather, my wife, she goes, Does this look too dated? I think it makes me look fat. What do you think? Does it make me look fat? Should I wear this? And here's the answer. You're hot. That's all you say. It's the answer to every question. Was dinner terrible? You're hot. That's all that you... I can't even comprehend dinner because I'm just so amazed at how hot you are. I can't concentrate. That's the answer. Those little switches make all the difference. And this morning, we're going to look at a switch. Now, I obviously don't know your circumstances. I don't know your life station. I don't know your relational, your financial, your vocational situations. But what I do know is that every one of us is going to come to fork in the road, and we have to make decisions. Those tend to be dramatic but easy. It's the ones where we don't realize we're on the wrong track until it's too late. And there are some decisions we can make, some switches, if you will, if we make these fundamental switches from a great story that Jesus tells, we can make sure that we're on the right track all the time, so that no matter what the question is, no matter what the circumstances comes, we can really make the right decisions. The story we're going to look at, if you have a Bible, you can turn it to Matthew 25. If you don't, we're going to put the verses on the screen. But I say that because if you do, there's a good chance you're going to want to underline a word or two that's going to kind of jump off the page to you. And maybe even write some notes in the margin, and that's a good thing. But this morning, I'm going to pull some verses out. But to start, I want to just tell you the story basically. The kingdom of heaven can be illustrated in the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. And let me just tell you the story. He's going to go away and he entrusts the money. And to one he gives 5 talents or units or whatever you want to call them, to another 2 and to another 1. And after a long time he comes back and he asks them to give an account for what they have done. The switches, if you will, that we today, that I have gleaned from this particular story that I think are paramount. And as I look back in my life, every time I had a major decision and used this foundation, it was successful. Every time I had a decision, did not use these particular switches, it was destroyed. It was a train wreck. And with that in mind, I want to share those switches with you. The first one is in verse 14. He entrusted his property to them. We have to switch ownership of what we are and what we have. We have to switch ownership. The ownership of what we're entrusted with in 2 Chronicles 29:11, it's one of my favorite verses that really says this. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord. And this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you alone. And you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand. And at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. Everything is His. Everything. And once we turn over that ownership to Him and realize, you know what? I am now a steward or a manager of that. Our perspective changes. Everything changes from that point forward. That is not an easy lesson to learn. But what we do is we move from saying, okay, what am I going to do with what I have to God? What do you want me to do with what you have given me? Whether that is a talent or an ability, whether that's financially, whether that's an opportunity, whatever it is, we have to switch ownership of where we are. The very beginning of this process for me was vocationally. I had switched from being in the corporate world to doing what I do. I have a passion to encourage people, and I was in the process of that. In the process was switching ownership of my goods and what I did have financially. And I was going through a wonderful series called Crown Ministries. It's a 13-week financial piece. And one of the biggest foundations is this giving ownership. In the process of that, I remember on specific weekend, on a specific Sunday, I came out of church. And as I went to my car, I got to my car, and there's a dent this big in the side of my car. Someone had hit my car in the church parking lot. Did not leave a note. And I was just thinking, this is ridiculous. Look at my car. And then this concept, that verse came to my mind. Everything, and I'm sitting there by myself. I'd gotten out. There's nobody else around. And I'm just sitting there having a little conversation with God. And just reconciling this concept and going, God, there is a dent in your car. Your checking account does not have the money to pay for it right now. And I just remember being so frustrated with that process, and because there's a dent. And to realize for a week and a half, 2 weeks, driving around a car going, is it really God's? If it's really His, then there really is a dent in His car. And there really is no money in His account to fix that because my budget is very tight. And Lord, if you want a dent in your car, so be it. But Lord, if you want this fixed, the deductible, it's going to be this. And sure enough, I got to the point where I let it go. And it was within days after I realized, God, this is yours. What happened to your car? Well, it's not my car, it's God's car. And apparently He wanted a dent in His car. I don't know why I wouldn't have chose it, but His car has a dent. And after several times of explaining this, the ownership transferred. And when I sensed in my heart, there was this, a resolution came. Well, you know, I got a friend and he works in body work and he's kind of slow right now and he can probably help you out. And I called, and sure enough, unbelievable. Probably a third of the price it would have cost to fix it had it been my car and I had the resources. It was done. It was done very well. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm starting to catch a glimpse here. This really is your world. You really do have it all together. You really are in control. But I have to, in my head and my heart, switch ownership to that point. I've got to get to that point where I acknowledge that in the parts of my life. Once that switch is made, then it makes a huge difference. Another part of this is in verse 15 of chapter 25. We see another. We need to switch. He says, to one He gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his ability. We have to, if we're going to experience the fullness of this life, what God calls the abundant life, we have to switch not only ownership to Him, but our thoughts and the way our thoughts work. We have to switch our thoughts from comparing ourselves to these insanely unrealistic ideals to comparing ourselves to who God made us to be. To one, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, according to their abilities. The owner decides who gets what. Not us. The owner decided that, and we've got to stop comparing ourselves to these ridiculous standards that we're barraged with. Because if you and I are human and breathing and we live in America, we can't drive down the road. We can't see a magazine. We can't turn on the TV or watch a movie without at least subconsciously being barraged with this concept of discontentment. You're not good enough. You're not good looking enough. You're not rich enough. You're not. We're barraged with what we are not. And we have to stop. We have to switch our thoughts instead to saying, okay, God, who did you make me to be? What do you want me to be? You've given me a certain set of gifts, talents, and abilities, and this is the way you made me. And Lord, I'm going to be content with that because you have a purpose for me. And I can either buy the lie, and it frustrates me to no end, especially on the female side. I could not be a woman. I just could not do it. Because you are barraged with these just ridiculous concepts of what you should look like and act like and think like and talk like. It is amazing. And one of the greatest switches in life is to switch and say, you know what, God, I want to think the way you want me to think. You made me this way. Here's what it is. One of my favorites was a revelation I had when I was a single guy. I realized, you know what, I'm never going to be the richest guy. I'm never going to be the best looking. I'm never going to be the most athletic. This is who I am. This is who I am. And God, I can take care of me and I can make the most of who I am. But God, this is the way you made me. And one morning I got up. Now, if you've never been able to laugh at yourself, I want you to do this for 5 days in a row. Get straight out of bed, go straight in the bathroom, turn on the light and stare in the mirror for 1 full minute at yourself. You know, if you can't smile at that, you're just hurting. And one morning I'm sitting there and my hair is weirded out anyway. And I'm looking in the mirror and I just started laughing. And I said, you know what? I'm kind of cute in a mutt dog kind of way. My hair's weird. My nose is crooked and my teeth are, you know what? That's just who I am. And God, thank you for making me that way, that I don't ever have to compete. I will never be in the most beautiful people contest. I'll never be there. I don't have to have that pressure. I'm good with that. This is who I am. And I'm fine with that. To change my thoughts to where, who did God make me to be? I'm going to stop comparing to the wrong standards. And once we've made that switch, life becomes a lot more enjoyable and clearer in the process. About a year and a half ago, my wife was telling me about some friends. And she goes, you know what? I was talking to, and I'll call her Kim, because that's her name. And she said, I was talking to Kim, and she was telling me about how they go to the lake. And they have just had such a great time at the lake, and they were skiing and this and that. And she makes the declaration. She goes, we need a boat. Really? I said, we need a boat. And she goes, yes. She told me about how much fun, and they go over there, and blah, 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 blah. And I said, how long have we been married? At the time, it was 13 years. Now it's 15. And she goes, 13 years. I said, how many times in 13 years have we been on a boat? Never. And yet, all of a sudden today, we need a boat. I said, are you familiar with a boat and the upkeep and the cost and this and this? And she goes, no, but it just sounded like so much fun. And I said, you know what? I will admit wholeheartedly, it is fun. And I think we should do it. I think we should go to the lake. I will rent a boat and we will drive around and we'll ski and we do all those things because I had a roommate. Now, for my roommate, he used to ski for a living in college. He's that good. When in the corporate world, his first bonus check, he bought a boat, a ski boat. And I've water skied in every month of the year. He needs a boat. He needs a boat because that is his gifting and his ability, and he uses it and he takes people out. I, on the other hand, I don't need a boat because I don't live at the lake. I don't have that. Is it fun? Yeah. Can we rent a boat? Yes. But this idea of I need a boat because somebody else has a boat, bad idea. Wrong comparison. That's not who I am. Is there anything wrong with boats? No, I love them. But I need what God gives is this perspective of going, don't compare yourself. You're the five talent guy and there's the two talent guy. I'm going to give him two totally different talents than I give you. Stop comparing to one another. Don't compare to one another. Compare to who I made you to be. And are you fulfilling who I made you to be? The other side of that, I love about my wife. Absolutely love about my wife. My wife is so not into comparing in different levels on a regular basis. My wife will go to Walmart and Target and have a blast at Walmart and Target. I love to go to Walmart just because of my job. I love the freak show that goes on at Walmart. I'm just like, really? And I just run around going, that's amazing. I've never been a woman. I've never been pregnant. But if I were both, I don't think I'd wear a tube top. That's just me. Okay? I'm just saying. Wow. That's just special. But my wife loves to go and shop there because that's where she knows that it's going to fit the budget and she loves to work those pieces out. Clothing wise, she doesn't need high-end stores because she loves the concept of I want to buy something new every 2 weeks. And we can't afford that at the high-end store, but man, she can go through Target and I love this and it was only, I got it on the sale rack for $6.99. Do you believe that? And I'm like, well, kind of, but I'm not going to say that. You're hot. You are hot. That's what I say. And I love that about my wife. Is that she's not comparing herself to others. She is just as happy wearing a knockoff looking pair of glasses as whatever else is out there. She doesn't have to have it because she's not into comparing. And I love that about her in that category. So to lose that comparison is absolutely monumental. And to switch our thoughts. Now, this may be the one area where we have to say, okay, Lord, is there any area of my life that is not yours in ownership? And Lord, is there any area where I need to switch my thoughts to quit comparing to those around me? And let God really start to work on our hearts and say, you know what, I'm going to let that go. And it's not just a thought from a positive thinking perspective. It really is a thought of ownership and submission to something bigger than myself. Because if we sow a thought, we begin to reap actions. When we sow our actions over time, we begin to reap habits. And our habits truly do determine where our destiny is. But if we've got to give it that kind of time. It's not what we have, it's what we do with what we have. And then finally, we need to switch those actions. Switch those actions. What do I mean by that? I want us to look at this beautiful verse 16 in this. He said, and he who has received the five talents went and traded them and made another five talents. And likewise, he who had received the two gained two more. There is a particular word, and I'm not going to go into great depth in translations, but in another translation, it amplifies that word where it says he received the five talents, went and traded. That went and traded is an immediate. In different translations, it says he immediately or at once went out and invested and began to work those talents. And likewise, the one with two did the same. Those actions, what we have right now is to take an evaluation of who am I, what do I have, and what can I do right now. We need to avoid the analysis of paralysis. So also did the one with the two talents. I'll give you one example. I began to think, do something today with what I do have. I was talking with a friend of mine who actually runs a 27-year in-country mission in Haiti. And it was such a great revelation to me that I got invited. I went down on a trip. And I've seen these pieces on TV all the time of different funds and different organizations of, you know, there's starving children in the world. I remember growing up, my parents were like, finish your food. There's kids in Africa that don't have any food. And I always thought, mail them this. You know, I'm not really excited about it. And that multiplied over the years, going, what can I do? I cannot solve world hunger. I can't. That is not one of the talents I have. But this change of thought and this change of action, while I was in Haiti, I saw firsthand what they were doing. And they had an incredible program, and they had the talent to set up this system of helping one child. And I met this one girl, and she did not have a sponsor. And I said, what would it take to sponsor Velva? And he goes, it's simple. You fill out the paperwork, and it's $30 a month for a year. You commit to a year, and that's all you do. And I'm like, I can do that. I immediately filled it out, and I took a picture with Velva, and I remember thinking, this is awesome. I got to see the school where she goes. I got to see the material they give them to make clothes in. I got to see the rice and beans they feed them every day. One hot meal a day, that's what they get. And I got to see this smile on her face. And I'm like, I can't change the world, and I can't solve world hunger, but I can for Velva. And I sponsor her. And to this day, I sponsor. And they said, well, it's only for 1 year. And I said, well, you should warn people, because after that year, you're not going to want to stop. Because I see that she gets something to eat every day. I see the clothes that she wears. I got the picture, and I mailed the picture to her. And I said, thank you. And she's learning English. She's in like third grade, and she's learning English. And she wrote me in this broken English, thank you. Me and my family pray for you. And school is going well, and I'm making good grades and this. And I'm just like, I get to change the world for one person. Now, there's some people that I know. I have a friend who is a mentor friend of mine. His talent is a little bit different. His talent is that he does have some resources, and he prays the same prayer. God, I can't do everything. I can't solve the world's problems, but you know what? I've got some ends in the engine industry, and there's this hospital ship in the third world, and they need an engine on the boat. I can take care of that. And he managed to get with some of his other friends, and they put an engine into a ship. That is a hospital that goes around the third world country, and that's his talent. I don't compare myself to that. And he doesn't compare himself to me. It's what am I doing with what I do have? What are the actions that I can take? Here's a quote. Don't miss this, because it is one that hit me between the eyes. And go ahead and put it up on the screen if we have that, even if it's not. The smallest action is grander than the greatest intention. What do I do today? What am I doing with what I do have, and what can I do right now? And if I can marry that concept of thought and action with ownership, that God really is over it all, then it makes everything else make sense. I want to share with you one verse. You can write this one down. Jeremiah 32:27. It says this, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? Is anything? Because I got it. I can do this. And I tell you what's making me more and more excited over time is the concept of taking those little pieces and inspiring those little pieces. I shared a story last time I was here about a woman in Arizona who came up to me after a service, and she said, Ken, I think God is really calling me to take some water to people. And she lives in Phoenix. It's hot in the summer in Phoenix. And she says, I think God might be calling me to take some water to these people who are down there and that are living homeless right now. And I don't know what to do. And I said, what do you mean you don't know what to do? She goes, I think God wants me to do that, but I just lost my job and I've got some savings, but I don't know if he wants me to tap into my savings. And I said, Can I be a part of this? And she goes, what do you mean? I said, I got $20. Here's what I want you to do. This is God's $20, because I put aside a few bucks every month and I just consecrated to God. And I said, this is God's money. And I'm fairly certain that giving thirsty people water would be under the God thing. Okay? So here's the deal. Take $20. You don't have to use yours, but I want you to do something. Go buy as much water or whatever you think you need. Take it down there and give thirsty people water. And then whatever happens there, take the next step. Just take those one steps because He owns it all anyway. And if we start taking those steps, we start seeing God move and we start realizing, you know what? I want to switch on to God's track. I want to be a part of His deal. And if we'll make those switches, it will change our thoughts and our actions. And we start to see, wow, where we used to live in frustration and comparison and worry, we start living in hope and joy and fulfillment. And life comes in crystal clear perspective. It's that little small difference, but it's the decisions we make and the switches we take. Pray with me, if you will. Father, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you so much that we can trust you on these switches. God, you really do own it all. And Lord, if any of us are sitting here today and we haven't made that switch in our life, that you own it all, help us in that process. In that passage in verse 19, it says, after a long time, the master returned and settled accounts. After a long time, they had doubled the 5 and the 2. But the one had said he buried it. He says, I knew you were a hard man and you reaped where you didn't sow and you got where you didn't give. And I buried it. And he says, take the one from him and give it to the one with 5 that now has 10. Because he says, depart from me, you wicked slave. You've done nothing. The question is not, what can't I do? The question is, what will I do with what I have? And those little steps, those small decisions, the smallest decisions and the smallest actions over time make the greatest differences. That's the point. That's the concept of switch. Father, maybe it's these small thoughts that we need to start saying, God, change my thoughts. Lord, change my thoughts to stop comparing to everybody and even comparing to what I think I should be. Compare, Lord, to what you have made me to be. And am I fulfilling that? And Lord, give me the boldness to take one step immediately in that I can experience your joy. Lord, I want to hear those words that you shared to those two servants who doubled it by doing, well done, good and faithful servant. And it's only through Christ we can pray. Amen. Have a great Sunday. Amen.